Can you state your name and tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name is Monica Helms. I live in Marietta, Georgia. I am the creator of the Transgender Pride Party. And Darlene is making noise, so we're going to have to do that over.
I warned you that I was...
Yeah. We're still waiting anyway, though.
Okay. So, start over.
Yeah.
My name is Monica Helms. I live in Marietta, Georgia. I'm 68 years old, and I am known for creating the Transgender Pride Flag. But I have done many other things.
How do you identify?
Female. And I know that people like to do the pronouns. I'm not big on wanting to do pronouns. If I say female, then you go, then you kind of should figure that out from there.
What does it mean to you to be queer in the South?
It means I got to be careful. It can be dangerous at times. If you're in a certain situation, but most of the time, Darlene and I have had good luck. We've been many rural areas in Georgia, and we've been treated well in all these areas, not have any problems, even though they could tell that we're a lesbian couple, that I'm not really too sure whether they could notice if we're trans or not, but we've been all over, but there are situations and there are people in Georgia that can be dangerous, and so we got to be careful. We just can't go out and flaunt ourselves. The people in this cul-de-sac probably only knows us as a lesbian couple, and that's fine, but we don't tell anybody that we're trans. If they figure it out, that's fine too.
How has your life been different than you imagined?
Jeez. Beyond recognition. I would have never in a million years could have figured out that I would have ended up here. It's like a whole different world opened up to me 23 years ago when I started my transition. And I could not guess that this is where it would end up.
How do you think things have changed for the LGBT community since the Stonewall riots?
Well, I was 18 during the Stonewall riots. I lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and there was no news in Phoenix, in the papers or television about the Stonewall riots. So I had no idea. I had no idea what was going on at the time. And it's only, later on in my life that I find out what was happening. Just a few short days before the first moon landing, which was the big deal for me, being a science geek and a science fiction geek. That was a big deal for me. But I had no idea about Stonewall. How the world has changed since Stonewall? It's changed immensely. A lot of, even though there's a lot of problems that are in this world because of certain people in the government today, we are better off now than we were 20 years ago when I started out. So I see a lot of good changes. In the 80s, trans people would try to go stealth, and they would get rid of all their friends and leave the area. And nowadays, there's no such thing as being stealth because the internet completely wipes that problem. And I call can't be built in the 21st century. It's just not possible.
Are there any stories or memories that you would like to tell me about?
Oh, yes. I got lots of stories and memories. I got them all written in here. This is my autobiography, which was published in March of this year. And I talk about all the different things that happened in my life from the very beginning to today, even including the fact that I was Grand Marshal at World Pride a few weeks ago, which was a major big deal. And so I have a lot of very interesting things that happened in my life, and I'm very proud of my military service. I did 8 years in the Navy and served on 2 submarines, and so I've been extremely happy with everything that I've accomplished in my life, and then I'm disappointed with a lot of things that has happened. I made many mistakes throughout the years, and I'm very grateful that I learned from them.
What are you most proud of?
Well, the publisher of my book said that when I'm asked that question, I should say that I'm most proud of creating the trans flag, and that the fact that it has become an icon in the world. But to be honest with you, what I'm most proud of is my 2 sons. They have grown up to be wonderful fathers, parents. They just amaze me. I tell them that they are better fathers than I ever was, and I'm so proud of them. So yeah, those two men, they're the proudest part of my life.
That's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard.
What's that?
That's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard.
Seriously.
It's amazing. So can you tell me a little bit about designing the trans flag?
Yes. I was good friends with the guy that created the bisexual pride flag, and we were having dinner one time in Phoenix, and he said, you know, the trans community could use their own flag too. And so we discussed it and everything, but I couldn't come up with anything at the time. And about 2 weeks later, I woke up one morning, and the image of the flag came to me as I was lying in bed. I jumped up and I drew it out on paper, and it looked pretty good. And I called the company that made the bisexual pride flag, and they sent me some swatches. I picked out the swatches, and about a week later, they sent me the first flag. And 14 years or 15 years from the day that I created the flag, I donated the original one to the Smithsonian.
So what do the colors represent?
The light blue is traditional colors for baby boys. Pink is traditional colors for baby girls. So that the blue and the pink represent binary. The white in the center represents everybody else that doesn't want to fit in the binary or isn't in the binary, people that may be transitioning, just everybody else, and genderqueer people. So that's what the white stripe stands for. So everybody under the umbrella, genderqueer umbrella, is included in the flag.
How have you seen the military change for trans veterans?
Well, it was good when Obama was president, because he made it possible for them to be open, so they didn't have to hide who they were. And the several years that people were in the military and serving openly, they found out that there wasn't any problems. And now, the president, or I don't consider him a president, the jackass in the White House, you don't mind me saying that, do you? The jackass in the White House thinks that we cost too much money, and we use too many drugs, and you know, so that's a bunch of bull. And so we're essentially going to have to wait till we get another president that's accepting and will allow the allow trans people to serve openly again. We can't expect this administration to do anything for us.
No, definitely not. What advice would you give your teenage self?
Oh, I actually thought of that a while back. Expect that there is going to be a lot of changes in your life. Keep track of all your changes, that everything happens in your life, because it could be very important. And later on, when you get into shooting 8mm film, and don't lose them. That's one of the big things that I realized when I transitioned. I did not bring my 8mm films with me, and I've lost a lot of very interesting and good things in them that I wish I could have today. So expect the unexpected, and just go with the flow. Because things are going to turn out very interesting. And try to lose some weight, too, when you get older. You know, be a little healthier.
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a person who did what she could to help the trans community. Most people will remember me for creating the flag, but I've done so many other things, and I want people to remember that I did try to do my best to help in any way I can. And if you only remember the flag, at least you know that it's something that helps unite the community, and I'm very proud to have given the community that.
And what is your hope for the future?
That I have a future? I mean, you know, I'm 68 years old. I want to be able to see some of the future, some more of the future. Being a science geek, I want to be alive when they first walk on Mars. I want to see that. So, you know, that's what I hope for. But I'm hoping for things that, hope for the climate to get better, that they finally get off their butts and do something to fix it. Of course, there again, we have to wait for another president to be in the office to get that done. So, I just want a future where my grandchildren can thrive and live without any problems, and that would make me happy.
Do you want to read an excerpt from your book?
Ah, yes, I could read an excerpt. I'll have to put my glasses on. Okay, I know just which one to read, too. It's chapter 2. This was a fun chapter because since I like to write fiction, I said, I want to put something that's fiction in this, even though this is my autobiography. So I said, what happened before I was born? And that's what this chapter seems to accomplished, at least in my eyes. I don't remember anything about how I came into the world, but I've also never met anyone who does. However, I'd like to think that this is what went down just before being born. Helms, front and center. I'm here, St. Christopher, sir. Looks like you're about to be ready to send to your assignment. Well, that's great, sir. I've been in the soul waiting room since before the War of 1812. Playing cribbage with Napoleon's former soul is getting boring. I think he cheats. You should consider yourself lucky. Some souls have been waiting for their assignment since the boss's lady son died on the planet Earth. St. Christopher made a sign of a cross. Looks like we'll have a lot of souls being assigned shortly. The people of this particular world just finished another war, so when all the soldiers and sailors come home, there's going to be a boom in babies. Wow, sounds like an exciting time to be born, sir. Maybe you'll have to judge that for yourself. No, sir. Oh, so, sir, can we go over my assignment one more time? Sure. St. Christopher opened up the big book and checked the information next to my name. It says here you're going to be born in a couple in Walla Walla, Washington, in the United States of America. And I'm going to be a human girl, right? That's right. Your name will be Monica Helms. Then it's all set. You don't see any problems, do you? Now, what makes you think there's going to be any problems? You know, rumors go around, mostly from old souls who've had previous assignments. That's old soul stories. The boss has planned for everyone, and she's not about to tell anyone, including us, at the Soul Repository Center. Mistakes aren't made? Come on now. You've been here long enough to know that she doesn't make mistakes. Well, I've been just wondering. I've had your assignment right here. We don't know what happens when you step through the door and see the boss before your birth. It's been that way since we started. If she wants, she can make adjustments to your assignment. And that's her prerogative. After all, she's the boss. Okay, so when do I leave? Shortly, I suggest you say your goodbyes. Even to my soulmate? Yeah, especially to her. Keep in mind, she won't be born until 1974, 23 years after you. Is a year very long? Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Thank you, sir. I paused. I have one question. Yes. Do you have an assignment for Napoleon's soul? St. Christopher smiled. Let's just say that if you happen to read the March 1969 issue of National Geographic, check out page 65. He'll be the third naked native woman on the left. I smiled. Hey, your name's flashing. You gotta go now. To the doors? Yes, hurry. You can't keep the boss waiting. I turned and ran toward the huge doors at the end of the massive room where all the souls have to go to be sent to their assignment. I would soon become a human girl. I couldn't wait. I've heard that they have a lot of neat stuff at Christmas. I want an easy bake oven. As I reached the doors, they swung open. Thousands of souls poured through and stood in line so the boss could send them to their right place. As I got closer, I saw a vast emptiness in front of the line. It seemed to grow larger and larger the closer I got. Then it happened. I saw her. Monica Helms, her voice boomed. I felt scared. Yes, ma'am. I have a new assignment for you. New assignment? What could it be? Yes, you'll be a special person, but those around you will not know it. I'm going to go I'm doing this for a reason. But enjoy your life, Robert. Robert, but that's a voice. Everything went dark. The darkness quickly turned into harsh, bright light. My brain suddenly became overloaded with all kinds of new and strange sensory inputs. I felt wet, cold, hungry, felt effects of gravity. Then I felt something I really didn't like. A sharp pain came to the bottom part of my new body. I opened up my mouth and let out a loud scream. That surprised the hell out of me. Did that come out of me? I wondered if I could do that again. Before I tried, I felt another sharp pain, and this time on the back side, I screamed again. Congratulations, Mary. You have a healthy baby boy. A boy? I'm not really a boy. I reached down and between my legs, felt something there. Enough. Sure enough, I got one of those thingies only human boys happen to have. I began to cry. Look, he's touching himself. How cute. I screamed again. Goddess, I don't want to be a boy. You made a mistake. She didn't respond. Would you like to hold your new son, Mary? Yes, please. The doctor placed me in the arms of a warm and wonderful person. Hi, I'm your mother. My mother? Wow. I came from her? I'm going to like her, this person. Maybe she can turn me into a girl. Most people these days think of God in the male gender, and in early years of my life, I felt the same. In truth, however, I have lived most of my life as an agnostic. Then when Darlene came into my life, I started believing in a female god, a goddess. When I first wrote this chapter, I used God as the boss. Later, I changed the character to the goddess to better reflect how I feel today.
Was there anything else you'd like to share?
Oh, not that I can think of right offhand. I mean, I got a lot of things I talk about, but, talk a little bit about my Navy career. I'm very proud of serving in the Navy. Most of the males in my family are all military. All of my uncles were in World War II. One of my aunts, my father was in World War II, Korea, and the early part of Vietnam. My grandfather was in the Navy. My son was in the Marines. My brother was in the Army. His son's in the Air Force. And I spent 8 years in the Navy. I served on 2 submarines. And I tell you, so submarine duty was hard,